All right. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us for our third Thursday of the month, World Peace Diet Circle Call, World Peace Diet Facilitator Mastery Program members. It's great to see you all. Thanks again for joining us. This is Thursday, November 17th, 2022, and this is Dr. Will Tuttle. Madeline and I are here for only a couple more days before we depart on our big adventure, 4.5 months living in a tiny van. that's exciting. And Lisa Wong will be joining us in her RV, along with Joy Grace, I believe, as well, meeting up in Los Angeles. So we've got a lot going on here over the next few days as we get ready. Give a little quick background here. So we're going to be leaving in a few days and heading south to Southern California and then across to Florida. And that'll take us about a month. And so we have quite a few, I think, maybe 20 events maybe or so scheduled between now and then early Florida, in Southern California and Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. So that's exciting, and we're looking forward to that. Or maybe it's more like 15, I guess, something like that. But once we get to Florida, we will be doing events there for a couple of months and then heading back again in April, March and April. So what we'd like to do on this call is I'm happy to talk about anything regarding veganism and liberation of animals and human beings. We're also animals. And just entertain any questions, problems, ideas that you may have. There's so much going on right now. We're really in incredibly important and in many ways challenging adversarial type times, I think more than normal, but that can bring out the best in us. It can really open up new possibilities. So we can talk more about those things. What we'd like to do in the beginning, as you veterans of this whole thing know, is like to do a short meditation. The first Thursday of the month is our longer meditation time, but we'll do a short meditation here, and this is the last time until, I don't know, April or May, when we'll be able to be here in our living room with the grand piano here. So I'll go ahead and invite all of us now to join together in the meditation, and then we can open up the meeting. We don't have a special guest today like we've been having the last few months. So this is just us here. As we say, just us chickens. We can talk about whatever we like. But I'd like to invite us now for the meditation. So let's begin our time of meditation. Thanks. Become aware of our breathing. So with every exhalation, letting go into this moment, the only holy moment is right now, abiding in this present moment. We give thanks for this precious opportunity to be together here this evening, to connect more deeply with each other and with the inner wisdom that we have shining always in our hearts, and the shared wisdom that we have together as a community of caring individuals. Each one of us making an effort to awaken to the truth of our own being and the truth of the world arising around us and within us, and to authentically make a contribution for the benefit of all of our brothers and sisters, for the benefit of all living beings. So we give thanks for each other and for the efforts that we know are being made to speak the truth with love and awareness, to live our lives with consequence, to question the official stories in our society that lead to exploitation and domination of the weak by the strong. And we open our hearts now especially to the light. The light that shines at the heart of the universe, the light that shines also in our heart right now, and the light that is shining in every cell of our being, bringing every dimension of our life into alignment with the higher purpose that we are here to fulfill. And we just see this light bringing every dimension of our life, every aspect of our physical body, and all of our affairs into joy and freedom, creativity, abundance, compassion, and kindness, truth and freedom, awareness, as we remember the deeper truths that shine always in the inner wisdom that opens to us the direct experience of the unity of all life, which manifests as a vegan way of living, as an extension and an expression of the truth that we are awakening to. And so now we open our hearts and radiate loving kindness, compassion, joy, and peace into the whole infinite web of relations. We hold especially the living beings that we refer to as animals, holding them in our hearts with love and sensitivity, with caring, kindness and compassion, appreciation. for their beauty, the great joy and many gifts that they bring to our world, their experience of their life, of their relationships, their significance, their sacred being. We honor the sacred being of all living beings, all of the mammals, the birds, the marine animals, all of the vertebrate animals, all of the insects, all beings, all of the plants, all the ecosystems, the forests and rivers, the oceans, the living earth, all the beings, visible and non-visible, celebrating their lives. Opening our hearts to the wisdom that has been forgotten. Opening our hearts to the wisdom carried by the trees, the silent green witnesses, aware of all of our human dramas, with their ancient song that still resonates in the marrow of our bones, the song of freedom, song of truth, the song of friendship, with all of the natural forces, song of harmony, of peace, within not only the human family, but with all expressions of life. And we understand that beyond the coming and going of time and space, the infinite and eternal consciousness that is our true nature, aware, abiding in freedom and peace, shining the light into our lives, that we may live our lives as expressions of healing and compassion. And so now, as we begin to bring this meditation to a close, we relax into our center, our heart, the core of our being. And give thanks, knowing that every day as we go forth from our time together here, we are learning and growing. We are making progress in the unfolding of our true nature, radiating our understanding and kindness in our unique way. We give thanks, knowing that every day our intuition and wisdom are growing. We are learning to communicate not only with each other, but with the unseen forces, to bring about a transformation on this earth for the benefit of all living beings. We give thanks, knowing this is so, to the power and presence of the infinite light, and so it is. Okay, well, thank you everyone for taking time out of your, I know, extremely busy schedules. We all have nowadays. There's never enough time in the day. It seems like enough hours or minutes. We get, what is it, 1440 every day? 1440 minutes, 1440 minutes. Seems like a lot. And how do we use our minutes? How do we invest them wisely? That's the question. Are we putting first things first? That's another good question. What are first things? What's the most important thing? And how do we make those choices? I think these are the things that are coming into stark relief. I think more and more when we get into times when all of the underlying assumptions about the nature of reality get questioned more and more, then it's a great time for spiritual progress. So, as I said earlier before the meditation, a lot of you came in during the meditation, so I'll just say it again. If you have any thoughts or ideas, questions, any pressing issues, this is the time. We have about an hour. We usually try to keep this to at the maximum an hour and a half. So from, say, we are in California, we'll be ending the latest by 6:30. And press star 6 on your phone or unmute yourself somehow or raise your hand. You can do that in the, where is it? It's down there somewhere, reactions, if you'd like to say something. And we're happy to do that. We don't have any special guests lined up. We have just us today, so feel free to make your input. I have plenty to talk about. Don't worry, there's always a lot to talk about. But it's just great to know that we have this time. If you have something you'd like to specifically address, we can do that. We're in a time, I think, of immense censorship. That's one of the things that's really, I think, becoming more and more clear. This kind of censorship, not just of sort of toxic things, but really important, uplifting, important knowledge is being censored. So that's one of the reasons we get together like this. This is sort of the underground. We can talk about anything. And that's good. We should be able to. All right, we get a couple of people. Let's see, this one, you raise your hand first. I don't have a name, just that you're on an iPhone. So go ahead if you'd like to make a comment or a question. You can do that. Let's see here. All I can do is... Yeah,
could that be me? It's Andy.
Andy, that's you. Okay, go ahead, yeah.
Okay. Boy, there's 1,000 things that come to my mind and I'm losing my voice, but... So I want to ask, you mentioned, I think, that a couple of people are joining you. Are you doing like a caravan or something on your...
Well, yeah, right. We're doing a Grateful Dead tour. No, there are actually, we mentioned it last month. Lisa Wong, who's a World Peace Diet facilitator here in California, decided to, I guess it's been a while, she's with us right now, but she decided to get a an RV. Like Madeline and I, we lived in an RV for, gosh, I don't know, 17, 18 years. And, now she's got an RV. So, so she thought it would be great to come along on this tour. And, she's being joined by another, vegan advocate named Joy Grace. And so that's the plan. I mean, that's the idea. They'll be with us and, joining us and perhaps helping out in various ways as we go along. So we'll see how it all goes. It's just, I think that in a way there is always this idea that there's a lot of power in community, right? I mean, there's power in each one of us as an individual, but the real power is when we work together in a harmonious way and then we can reach more people. So we're experimenting with that, I guess, sort of spontaneously here. But yeah, so that's happening. So you'll probably meet them. We're coming to San Diego. I know you're in San Diego, and we'll be there 2 days after Thanksgiving. We'll be in Thanksgiving in Los Angeles and then in Temecula, which is halfway between LA and San Diego, and then in San Diego. And we're looking forward to the events in Temecula also. These are both of these, actually, the San Diego and the Temecula events are being put on by vegan people who are also health freedom advocates, which is really great. I always like that when people are on the same page on everything. And one is going to be at a restaurant in called The Village in San Diego. And thank you, Andy, for helping to line that up. And the other one is going to be out in the country at some people who have their own gardens and food forests, kind of. They're really working to raise their children close to nature and unvaccinated and so forth. So, and they're longtime vegans also. So we're going to be doing an event at their place out in the country on Friday, right after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is going to be at a park in Los Angeles, Rancho Park, which apparently this is a tradition. This, I think it goes back 20 years or something, and they expect maybe 300 or 400 people. And then after the dinner, which is at noon, I guess I'll be giving a talk for about an hour or so, maybe 45 minutes probably. So if you know anybody in LA, they can go to our the vegan potluck. I've never been to this before, but we've been invited to attend and to speak. All of the details are at our website, theworldpeacediet.com, and just go to upcoming events. And we'll be going right from there, right actually to Phoenix. It's a great vegan restaurant started by the founder of the Chocolatry in Sedona, our good friend David. And he's now got a restaurant in Phoenix called The Giving Tree. So we'll be giving a lecture there, and then another one down in Tucson at the vegan Midtown Market. And then heading over to Albuquerque, doing a lecture there, and then Santa Fe, and then in Las Cruces and El Paso, and then down through Texas. So that'll be Austin, Dallas first, actually. Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, and Houston. Houston, we're having a little trouble setting it up, but I think we'll get something here before long. And then heading from there to Florida. And we'll be at Hippocrates right around Christmas, just before Christmas. And then we'll be there for 6 weeks, and we'll be doing events from there as a base as well. So that's the basic flow, and then coming back in March.
So are you? Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Okay.
So are you going to have the people joining you on the caravan throughout the whole thing, or?
Well, it's not my choice. I mean, they want to come, and that's, it's up to them. But we'll see. I mean, it's a free country. I mean, people can go wherever you want. You know, we can't make you come or make you not come.
Well, I didn't know.
Well, that's the intention.
Yeah, that's the intention. Okay, so that's Lisa saying that's the intention, to stay the whole time. Yeah.
Well, because I was curious if you were going to do, like, if anybody could join, if that's possible.
Yeah, no, it's not, it's nothing, it's not anything that I'm really trying to control or monitor in the sense of like, I allow you or not allow you or whatever. I mean, sure. I mean, if you like to join for part of it and hear me give talks or, and whatever, and do some music and be, I mean, it's, no, the schedule is very public. It's right out there on the internet. You can see it. It's all out there. We're not hiding anything. So.
That sounds good. Can I, whoops, oh gosh, I just hit something, I don't know what. I have no clue what I just did. I have maybe another topic also that, you know, probably just about everybody I know now is within the so-called freedom community. And I don't know what your thoughts are or your knowledge of of like Larkin Rose or Mark Passio or David Icke, or and I've been trying to promote them more, of course, with you as well, as you know, just understanding the whole freedom thing and refusing to comply. And I find myself so frustrated because I feel like I'm battling with the so-called freedom people, and when I tell them about not complying, they're great at saying no to me with all of their excuses why they have to comply. Like there are just no other options other than compliance, whether it's wearing a mask for the job or keeping their kids in school or using the fake vaccine card. And I feel like it's a lost cause if that's what the freedom people are saying, you know,
So you're saying that quite a few freedom people who are still complying with various things. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh. They're wearing the masks for jobs, certain jobs, keeping their kids in the school when they know, even if they're temporarily not allowing masks, they know there's complete brainwashing. I mean, they are yelling and complaining about what's going on in the schools, but they're refusing to take their kids out. And this is so many people. And I feel like we have a chance if the freedom people are, they're great at saying no to me and giving their excuses why they have to comply, but they won't say no to those other people that are pushing them into things that they claim they believe is wrong.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing is, I mean, we can't control other people, right? I mean, people, everybody has their unique individual mission for this incarnation on this earth, and we don't know what that is. And also everybody has their unique wounding and their perspective and what they think is important to them. And we have to have patience and understanding with people, even though, I mean, I understand it's frustrating. I mean, you know, I've been a vegan for 42 years. It's been frustrating 42 years in a way, trying to just get the vegan message out there. But it's also very rewarding because what we do is we just plant seeds. You know, we can't make people really go vegan. I mean, you can't force them into it. We can be an example. And I think you, Andy, are a tremendous example, really, quite honestly, of not only veganism, but also of being passionate about freedom and spreading the ideas in various ways through the internet and through you posting things, you're putting up signs, you're putting up flyers, and you're spreading the word. You're doing all these things, you know. And I think that's the thing. We come to this earth, and everyone here has been wounded. And that's the thing. People are wounded as soon as they're born. They're born in terror, really, in violence. Their natural capacities are reduced. They're vaccinated really early on now, especially younger people. My gosh, they give them so many. I mean, it was bad enough when I had 3 or 4, but then now they're getting like 30 or 40 or 50. And these vaccines are really toxic and shut down a lot of not only their mental and physical capacities, but I think spiritual connections as well. So people are battling against huge odds to maintain some freedom. And then, of course, there's this financial pressure that a lot of people feel. They don't want, you know, they need to work. How can they homeschool their kids? They need to work. How are they going to give up their job for their, you know, and so forth. And we can say, look, you know, your life is more important than money. And we can be an example as best we can. But people, you know, this is, in a sense, it really is, like people say, it's a spiritual war where the big guns have come out, and here it is. We're seeing it. It's kind of like, to me, it's a little bit like, I don't know what happened 10,000 years ago in what is today northeastern Iraq, but some people started to imprison the cows, right, or the sheep and the goats, and they started the whole system. And they did it. They just did it. They started turning them, these free-living beings, into livestock. And probably, it probably was gradual. I mean, they became friendly, and they probably gradually started just feeding them and saying, yeah, well, you're ours, and they started confining them eventually. And so this has been building for a long time. We've been seeing this, the action going for decades, probably for centuries. And so the good news, I think, ultimately is that a human being is an incredibly powerful force, just one. And when we just, each one of us, when we can use, through, I think meditation is really important, when we take time every day to connect with the eternal consciousness that is our true nature, and we just act and think and move from that awareness and see that in others, don't see the outer form that is frustrating and limiting us, but see the being and address that in them, and then understand that we're just seeing a small bit of a much larger picture, and we don't know the bigger picture. It's really the power we have is in how we are responding to what's happening. We can't change the outer world directly, but we can always change our response to it. So how do we respond in the most effective way to the suffering of animals, to the imprisonment and violence and brutality towards animals, to the suffering of humans and the imprisonment and violence towards humans, to the censorship, to people complying with their own enslavement? You know, how do we respond to that? And that's the thing. That's what we're like as a vegan for 42 years, and for all of us, and for however long, we've been trying to refine our response to be more effective, to put words and actions. It's not so much what we say we've discovered. It's really how we say it and how much we're living it ourselves. And if we're really living authentically, we can bring this message more powerfully. And one of the things that I'm really passionate about right now, and I've been the whole time, is how we have these two different movements, right? We have the vegan movement for the liberation of animals. We have the health freedom movement for the liberation of humans. And they're not communicating, hardly at all. I mean, we have all these vegans. Most of the vegans are masking and vaccinating and sending their kids to school and yelling at any vegan who's not vaccinated and so forth. And the health freedom people are going to barbecues and eating animal foods and whooping it up and saying how great it is that we want our freedom while they enslave all these animals and don't realize that exactly what they're doing to these animals, they're sowing the seeds for the same thing to happen to them. As we sow, we reap. So I think our job, maybe I shouldn't say our job, but I feel like my job, in a sense, or Madeline and I, we feel we agree on this, is to try to bring these together, to help vegans understand that if we're really serious about our movement, we need to not have censorship. We need to have freedom, and we need to protect the freedom of human beings because we're animals too. And to help people who are really interested in freedom for animals to understand that if we want freedom for animals, for ourselves, we shouldn't be enslaving animals. We should have some sensitivity that the very thing we're inflicting on these poor animals is what we're objecting to ourselves. I mean, that doesn't follow. So I've been in the throes of, for the last year, of writing a book called The Benevolent Revolution, which does that. It brings these two together, and we're hoping it'll be published within the next couple of months, and then there'll be a document finally that brings these together in a coherent way and shows the whole thing. And it's probably going to infuriate the whole vegan movement, and it's going to infuriate the whole health freedom movement too. They're not going to hate it. And my popularity will plummet even further. But anyway, I think, you know, we have to speak up about this, I think, because that's what's happening. I think we're seeing human beings turn into livestock because we have 10,000 years of turning animals into livestock. And you see that, and so people, that's the weird thing. It's like, why are people so weirdly impotent to resist their own enslavement? Why? Why do people not resist their own enslavement? That's the scratching our head. Like, why is it? And of course, I address this in the book I'm writing, that it's because of our habit of eating animal foods and the low self-esteem that goes along with that, that we just don't feel like we're worthy of freedom because we're eating enslaved animals. It's slavery. We're eating slavery with every meal. And so it doesn't go together. So I think that's the most important thing we can do, really, is to combine these messages. But the vegan message is the most important, I think. I mean, underlying everything, we've got to liberate animals. That's, if we don't do that, we're not going to get anywhere. So that's really important. But then to tie it in, we need to, you know, keep our freedom. Also, you know, we need to really defend our freedom. And like you say, you know, don't comply. Just refuse to comply. And so, be a model of that, essentially.
Will, do you ever lose patience? I mean, how do you keep patience with people? Is it just by meditating, or is there anything else? Or, because that's where I'm at now because of already the freedoms that I've lost. And, you know, it's just seeing what they're doing, that they've little by little, I've heard, I don't know if you heard, but I'm sure you already know it, Jordan Peterson did this thing of, you know, how they take away all our freedoms ultimately, and they just do one little step, and then we fight back, and then they stop. Then the next step, they take more freedoms from us, we fight back, then they stop, and by the time they're done, they have inched our way to stealing all of our freedoms. So I've already felt that, and I see what they're doing to, let's say, people, like, they're stealing people's vans and cars and not allowing them to live in them, and that's their only shelter. And, you know, I mean, it's just, I'm just losing patience because I find myself, in all honesty, I'm literally blaming the freedom people for complying because they're setting the example for all those other people who don't know what to do. So I'm finding, and so I'm guessing this is not the most effective thing, but I've just lost patience. So, I want to be as effective as possible. So yeah. My guess is you're going to say, I have to be patient and maybe meditate more. I don't know.
You know, the thing is, we each have our own unique way of doing activism. And I don't like to tell anybody how to do activism. I think it's a really dangerous to go down that path. We need to do the inner work, I think, because if we don't do the inner work, then we're going to be coming from a place of fear, and that's really ultimately counterproductive. But I think, as a vegan activist, I noticed, with some people, I would, really get in their face kind of about things, you know, like really, you know, challenge them and say, come on, you know, how can you say you care about animals and look what you're doing, you know, like, and other people I would just be more gentle, and it's like we let ourselves, if we use our intuition, you know, our inner wisdom to respond to situations appropriately depending on the situation. You know, sometimes it might call to really speak up strongly and call people out on behavior. And other times it might be to just be quietly, be an example and inspire people to do it in a situation. So I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all for individuals or for situations. everything is always fluid. And we don't know how this movie ends, right? I mean, my feeling is ultimately the movie ends, it does end, and it ends, it's, in the big picture, there's only one life, and this is never going to work. I mean, the power play of enslaving humanity, it's not, ultimately it's not going to work. But so, ultimately, but I mean, it may take, I don't know. I mean, it may take a few years or maybe take a few centuries. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I don't know. All I know is here we are. Like you say, I mean, I know you're saying this, like, we should act now while we still have the freedom to actually talk to each other like we're doing right now. Because if we wait much longer, we won't have that freedom. I mean, if they keep taking away more and more freedoms, then we'll be, we won't have, if we allow that to happen, that could happen. Because I think you're right in the sense that, the adversary here, seems to be really dead set on turning humans into livestock. You know, that basically seems to be what it is. And CBDC, right, the central bank digital currency, which is being hinted at and even rolled out in various places, that will really put teeth in the whole thing. Because once they have that in place, if they get a central bank digital currency in place, then economically it'll be very difficult to have it, you know, basic freedom. It's definitely a dangerous time. I mean, these things, you know, to think about these things happening is disturbing, because the things we take for granted, the ability to travel, for example, or the ability to leave our house and talk to people or to go somewhere or anything, people have lost that in other societies. And with the technology we have now, you know, to track everyone and actually, you know, they're very blatantly talking about using, combining, like the fourth industrial revolution and AI and the whole human machine interface to try to bring human beings and machines into one thing, you know, which is, to me, it's a very archetypal satanic kind of thing. It's like if you go back, I used to teach, you know, courses in world mythology, and if you look into the Luciferian myths and Ahriman, the stories of Ahriman and Lucifer, these great powers going back, you know, several thousands of years, their whole thing was this arrogance of being the creators and creating life as opposed to the divine life. And destroying the divine life and building their own life. And lo and behold, you know, we see this is coming to pass. I mean, this is what we can see happening. I mean, it's what we've been doing to animals. Everything we do to animals, we've been genetically engineering animals now for a few decades. To make them fatter and to make them juicier and make them give more milk. And they're trying to genetically engineer animals who are more compliant and more placid and who don't mind being hyper-confined, who aren't bothered by things that are horribly abusive to them if they were intelligent and sensitive like they naturally are. And, quite honestly, you know, these are huge alarm bells. I mean, we've been doing this. We've been allowing this to happen. You know, your question is a good one. Like, how do I tolerate living in a society that's going down that path? You know, how do I tolerate living in such a society? What do we do? When we see elections being just blatantly stolen right in front of our eyes, and we see, the kind of rollouts and abuse of power just rolled out right in front of us, do we just let it happen? What do we do? Yeah, I think that's it. And I think that's what you're talking about with patience. Do we just patiently endure that? Or do we resist? And how do we resist? That's the thing. And I think we really, you know, need to get the vegan message going, because what we're doing to animals, we're seeing happen to us, and then do the spiritual work to know that what we are is not just this material body, because that's how they get their power, is through materialism. The whole satanic thing is materialism. It's reducing beings to matter. And once we let them do that, once we look, let them and take that on ourselves and see ourselves as a physical body, we're done. You know, you're not a physical body. We have to understand that. We are not these physical bodies. We are what makes these possible. And we stand in that. And we have to understand that. And usually it's hard to understand that unless you have a meditative platform or framework to quiet the mind enough to get out of the rat race of the mind, which is always reinforcing this sense of me as a separate self in a body. It's just, you know, that's been programmed so strongly into us. And spiritual liberation gets us out of that. And then I think out of that, we will know what to do. And we'll act in that way. And we just have, each one of us has to invent this. I mean, it's really up to each one of us as individuals. We as individuals have the power when we connect with our spiritual roots as non-corporeal being. That's, I think, an essential point that has been missing. But we really, that's essential, I think, in this whole thing. All right.
Thank
so I hope,
you,
I hope that
you,
helps.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Yes, very much.
Gino, you have your hand up for a long time. Are you still there?
Oh, yeah, it's broken now.
Stronger than ever.
it's great to see you again, Will. I have, you know, since I moved from the Bay Area to San Diego 4 years ago, I haven't seen you in person. And the one time you were in San Diego, I hadn't been going anywhere all those years, and I had to go to Florida that week, and I missed you that one time.
I'm
really happy. I'll be at the Village. I'll be fortunate and be very fortunate to see you again. And Andy, thank you for helping with that. I'm sure I'll see you there as well. That's great that you did that. Your exchange with Andy was just magnificent. So many great things that I could latch on to. And, you know, just speaking of, you know, patience, right now, my, you know, I'm all about all the world events and everything. And, you know, I went through, you know, at least 2 years of, you know, terrible stuff with the COVID stuff and all that. It's just awful stuff. And, I'm starting to come around to more of a sense of peace. And I even have a t-shirt that says no fear, no separation.
Nice.
Whenever I wear that, people say, oh, I like that idea. I like that. And it is a good idea. But also, you know, I'm 72 now, and I have a lot in my past where I've grown a great deal and been an animal rights activist for 9 years. And right now I'm more focused on animal liberation, animal activism, animal rights activism, or animal liberation activism. And I have been for 9 years, as I said, up in the Bay Area, and then 4 years down here. To a lesser degree, it's not as robust down here. And I think one of my concerns, well, it's been that way for a long time, but I've sort of changed, you know, because I was an organizer and all this, and I saw so much drama with activists. And then, of course, with COVID coming in, yes, them just grabbing onto that wholeheartedly, how frustrating that is. And I just developed a sense of patience with people. And I think that one thing you said was everyone has a unique wounding. And that's so true. That applies to the, you know, the COVID stuff and even to how we interact with each other in the animal liberation movement. So I've taken that on where, you know, I'll work with anyone. I'll go to any animal rights organization and work with them and do actions for animals because it's been my main focus is the animals. That's why I'm doing this. I'm not doing this to argue with people. Or to say, yes, I agree with you. I don't agree with you. Yeah, they should go, blah, blah. I don't want to get into all that anymore. Focus, focus, focus on the animals. And I don't care if one group doesn't like another. I will work in either group or whatever. I just don't care. But my main concern here is because that's still going on. And yet, that, yes, they do have that wounding that you mentioned. But at the same time, you know, I know Direct Action Everywhere, for example, has had nonviolent communications classes and so forth, which have done zero good. I have preached up in the Bay Area and here, too, is have stuff more often supporting inner work, inner work. We're going nowhere without the inner work. It just isn't going to happen. And they say, oh, yeah, yeah. And it never happens because they're not doing that kind of inner work. It's more life experience work, but it's not about really deep spiritual seeing who you are and seeing that we're all one together in a real way. They're just not doing that. So my question for you, Will, is, and I don't know if you ever plan on writing about this, like ego in the movement, something, I think it would be a fantastic thing that people could say, look, we have this book, we have this presentation, we can have Bill or Will come and talk to us, whatever. But something that somebody can grab onto and say, yes, this is great. Let's start working with this because this is so well presented. You know, something like that. Or if you are don't see yourself doing that, is there someone else that has done that? Is there another book, video, anything out there?
Right. Well, thank you, Gene. That's very perceptive. I think, you know, that there's, I just had a very interesting, Zoom conversation today with a woman from Australia, who's a psychotherapist. Her name is Claire Mann, and she wrote a book called, Vistopia. She coined the word V as in Victor, Vistopia, for like vegan dystopia. And how people who are vegans very often have a lot of hard time psychologically because they're, trying to get their friends and family to go vegan and it doesn't work. So they get into depression and anger and all these things. We've talked about that and actually talked about that in the World Peace Diet too. But she has told me that she's working in something somewhat similar to that. It's doing a workshop on speaking your truth, and she's working more now. She's working some with vegan groups, but she's had a hard time actually in Australia talking to vegan groups because she says they're really so anti-truth. You know, they're really they don't want to hear what's happening at all, and so she's been kind of shunned by them. So she's working more with the freedom people, but. I think, she, as a psychologist, she kind of works quite a bit with that. And we were talking, both of us, about how the vegan movement has in many ways, she said it's completely collapsed, really, in Australia. It doesn't have hardly anything happening anymore because so many people just drank the Kool-Aid. And she said she thinks part of the problem, this is a, sort of another issue which I shouldn't even mention, but I'll just mention it briefly, is that so many people have gotten vaccinated, and it seems that the vaccines themselves are damaging people physically and maybe mentally too, which makes it harder to communicate with them after they're vaccinated, unfortunately. But I think the point was that we were talking about how important it is for people to do spiritual work if we're going to have a movement. If we don't do the inner work, and we're just projecting all the time. Everybody's projecting all their stuff, their anger towards their parents and everything else, and that it hasn't been resolved, and it plays out as physical disease, as relationship disharmony. And, the problem is that it seems like people don't have any framework for practice. The idea of practice, I've been trying to introduce this idea that veganism is a practice. You practice it every day. You can get better and better at it. We can live it with more and more sophistication, more and more sensitivity, more and more skillfulness. We can always become better. We can always be more loving and aware and nonviolent and intuitive in our activism and in the way we live. So veganism is not a static thing, but the vegan movement thinks, okay, we're vegans. We're done. We're set. We're perfect. We're not the problem. We got to change everybody else. Oh, we'll take a class in nonviolent communication. Okay, good. But that's not what we're talking about. You and I were talking about actually engaging with the inner darkness and inner delusion, really, of this core sense of being a separate self, which then makes me want to change the outer world the way I want it. And sets up this endless struggle that fights back. You know, it's always going to fight back. So to somehow, I guess, like you say, maybe create a book or a video or a training or I'm not sure what, but it would help maybe illuminate that But the thing is, you know, what I've seen is the vegan, there's a whole section of the vegan movement who would just taunt that whole thing, who would say, oh, these aren't vegans who are trying to, these are woogans who want to just contemplate their navel, they don't want to get out there and do the work and whatever. So, you know, yeah. When people have been wounded, the way people have been wounded in our society, where they really have no orientation for inner work at all, they don't value it. It's like they don't say, well, why should I? I mean, they taunt it. They make fun of it. They think it's ridiculous. How stupid. They laugh at it even. I mean, they think, or they say it's elitist. It's elitist. You know, you have time to meditate. I mean, people don't have time for that. You know, there's all these things. So,
you've got all the excuses. I've heard them. Yes.
So it comes back though. I mean, it always comes back to the individual, right? I mean, how do we respond to the situation? And I appreciate your articulation of your insight about that, you know, and how important it would be to have, because there are people who would be touched by that too. I mean, it could help. It could, like you say, having a document or a training or something that would really help people to engage and see this as a problem and get better at it, it would be great. But the truth also is that, and I've seen it myself, you know, like when I was a Zen monk in Korea, you have all these monks meditating for hours a day. And then once you get into it long enough, you realize there's all these petty conflicts going on and people are fighting with each other and there's power grabs and competition for who's going to be the next Dharma master in that monastery or whatever. So, you know, virtually every spiritual and religious group has these things going on, and social justice groups. I mean, it's just the way the ego operates, you know.
Well, you know, it seems like we can find a way to minimize it at least, or make it less prevalent, mm-hmm. because the more it's less prevalent, the more we're helping the animals.
Right.
So
right.
Whatever we can do.
Right. Well said. Yeah, whatever we can do as individuals and to share these ideas, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons we started the first Thursday gathering that we have, which is just a meditation and not a whole lot more, to just give us the space for that, to go deeper with the meditation and the spiritual teachings that kind of support that. You know, so thank you. Thanks for that.
Thank you very much.
Important piece. Yeah. Yeah, thanks very much. Anyone else have a comment, question, or anything you'd like to address? We've already kind of dove in here into the deep end with all this, but it's good. I think it's good to do. We're seeing a huge amount of, I see it anyway, of violence toward human freedom. And it doesn't seem to me to be going away. I mean, I just saw today or the last few days that Los Angeles and I think also New York City are rolling out masking mandates again, vaccine mandates again, talking about new strains of things and so forth. So the do not comply mantra, I really think, is very healthy. I mean, it's a very healthy, very, very healthy thing. That's what veganism is, right? We don't comply. As a vegan, it doesn't matter that this was organic, free-range dairy. You know, I don't comply. I'm not doing it. I am not going to do it. You know, you're not going to get me to eat that. You're not going to get me to pay for it. Give it to my kids, period. You know, so that's essential.
Well, excuse me. I think Kenny Rossler would like to speak.
Okay, Madeline's telling me something too. Go ahead.
Can I speak, Will? Can I say a few things? Can you hear me?
Okay, yes, Kenny, yeah.
Okay, I want to just express my extreme gratitude for having you in my life, you know, because I feel like you, I mean, I'm just saying this honestly, you embody the truth, but that Jack Nicholson line, the truth is most people can't handle the truth, you know. But,
right.
You know, I just want to say a few words about it. I've told you this before, but I knew I had this spiritual teachers who, you know, one of the most famous was Alan Cohen. I used to go to his workshops. You know, he speaks at Centers for Spiritual Living, Unity. He's been a vegetarian. We had the same spiritual teacher in New York, Hilda, on and on. But so I knew he was a vegetarian and did yoga and meditated, but I didn't understand vegetarianism. And then in 1996, I had a video business for 23 years, and Dr. Ed Bowman brought in Diet for New America, the video, okay, based on the book. And that, more than anything, and maybe in my life, shocked me, because I always had dogs and cats that I loved. When I saw the cruelty, this is the thing, the cruelty to the animals, I never even thought about a slaughterhouse, which is probably true, or, the, you know, I had no idea that we killed 70 billion animals. So that was the first part, was the shocking, the cruelty and enslavement. I'm still in shock about it. But the second thing was, then I saw Dr. McDougall and Dr. T. Cohen Campbell. Another huge lie that I was fed was that half the food I had to eat was meat and dairy and all this stuff. When we see thousands and thousands of commercials to eat meat. So that was another huge lie. So I'm in shock, still in shock at the violence towards fish and animals. And then, but I have been on a spiritual path for a long time. And then I saw the environmental. So I watched that video about 10 times, and I finally read the book, but it took me 8 years to say I'm a vegetarian. But I had to really, it had to go really deep into me. You know, I had to reprogram something that had been programmed thousands and thousands of times to eat, you know, these lying commercials. I mean, I hate to say fuck, but the McDonald's commercials, Kentucky Fried, they're all just people, happy cows, happy meat. I mean, they're lies that are just beyond comprehension, you know, but most people have just bought that lie. And in honesty, so we started going to vegetarian commons. I met Gabriel Cousins later on. I got involved with going to, you know, vegetarian conferences, and I kept, you know, grounding it. And then when I met you, Will, I mean, you brought into the idea, and this is, I just want to finish this, that when I read your book, and I've listened to it several times, this is a thing a lot of vegans have trouble buying. And I know, you know, I mentioned Neil Grace as someone I know very well. Is that they buy into that the pharmaceutical business is not as bad as the meat and dairy industry. But to me, they're equal partners. And then you point that out in your book. You're saying that these pharmaceutical drug companies, because they're giving most of the drugs to animals, people to give to animals so they can make them fatter. So they could, you know, they're just as corrupt. But most people say, you know, like you know, in Jewish, you know, the doctors are God, you know. They still trust Western medicine. That's what I'm saying. So that's why it's hard. That's where there's this conflict, because, you know, they may be vegan and they may love animals, and they may be doing it for health reasons or environmental reasons or spiritual reasons, but they don't get that the pharmaceutical business and the medical business is as just this, you know, they're equal partners with the meat, dairy, egg industry and the oil industry and the government. So it's like beyond shocking. You have to, hey, I just want to say that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Kenny. Yeah, that's a really important point. What you're saying is very important, because I think we underestimate actually the degree and the intensity to which the average person is bombarded with deceptive messaging. It's a deceptive message.
Cool. I'm working as a substitute teacher. I see they're having milk every single day. You know, the kids are talking about what they like to do. Like, they like to hunt. You know, I asked them, what do you like to do? You know, it's just the programming. And then walking into these stores where there's just, most of the food is just not healthy or holy. You know?
Yeah. Well, one thing, you know, it's interesting. I just was writing about this in this book I'm writing, how there's most of the violence that people engage in against others, you're aware that it's happening, right? I mean, if someone hits you, or yells at you, or steals from you, or something like that. You know, when that
Will
happens,
Smith,
you know that it happened.
The face of the Academy Awards.
And exactly. So when we get harmed, we usually know that it happened. But there's one type of violence that, which is deception, you know, lying, where people don't know. They have no idea that they've been, that they are being harmed, that they've been harmed. And that's the thing about deception. Deception is a type of violence that's much more insidious than anything else. And when you systematically deceive people, then they're just, there they are. They don't know. And they've been violated in a way that takes them away from themselves, their own nature. And I think that bombardment of people from infancy with the germ theory of disease, for example, which, you know, makes us afraid of everything out there, and that animals are just ours to eat and so forth, these basic narratives that permeate our entire culture. And the thing I keep saying is that when we go vegan, that's just the very first tiny little step on a long path. And we can't stop there. We need to go a lot farther and question all the other narratives, like you're saying. And the pharmaceutical industry really, I think, is more deadly to animals than the meat industry even, because they really drive it. They drive it so hard with all of the drugs that are used on the animals, and all the money they make from profits, and the way they've been able to capture the media and capture education, capture the doctors, capture everybody, capture the government. They've been able to capture the levers of power more than the meat, dairy, and egg industries by far. I mean, big pharma controls the government and media, pretty much. Education, academia, that much money. They make much more money. They have meat and dairy and egg doesn't have that big of a markup, but you can make a drug for, you know, a few dollars and sell it for hundreds of dollars. So they have huge amounts of cash that they use to basically purchase, narratives. That's the power. You purchase narratives. And then once you control the narrative, you control the people, because you control the thoughts in their heads. And so what we're talking about really is somehow helping people, and especially vegans, but everybody, to build up walls, like build, that's what it feels like, to build up an inner wall, to make your mind a better fortress, not have these leaky, not believe. And another thing really that's important to understand is we're not just getting bombarded with messaging from the media. We're getting bombarded with thought forms that have energy behind them, you know, non-physical entities, elemental entities. That, you know, when you have people in a fear-based way thinking thoughts, they're out there, and if we vibrate at a level that's the same level as those thoughts, they'll glom onto us and they'll pull us into them. So that's why it's so important that every day, like when we get up in the morning, we make a conscious effort mindfully to give thanks for this precious opportunity of another day, and then take time to meditate, pray, what it is for you, but to connect with your own true nature. Quiet the mind and connect with the being that you are, the eternal consciousness. Let the mind do what it does, but to just reconnect. And that way, there's a foundation that's impregnable. We have to really develop this impregnable foundation where we don't allow in that vibratory level of fear and anger and all these other things that are out there, and we vibrate at a higher level. The more we can raise our vibrational level, and I just mean consciousness, just the way we are and how we see things, the more I think ultimately effective our activism will be, because we'll be able to open doorways that can bring people to a higher level. Einstein said it in a way. He said you can't solve a problem on the same level that you created it. You know, we keep mucking around on that level. We really need to create the new reality. Buckminster Fuller, you know, I mentioned it too. Don't fight against an obsolete system. Create an alternative. Create something positive. And I think that's what we're looking at, to create a positive alternative, to create, you know, growing our own food, creating decentralized communities. This is really the thing. Like, there's these two possible futures. There's a possible future that we see being unfolded, that's based on technology. And I've come to really feel that technology is the enemy. Technology is the satanic demon. It is. People go, oh, no, technology's not bad. It's, you know, it can be good. It can be used for good. Yeah? Well, you know, all right. It's used to centralize control. It centralizes control. Technology centralizes control. And once you start centralizing control, there's no more individual freedom. There's no more creativity. I mean, it really is important to understand that. So the technocratic push towards technology and this idea that technology will somehow save us, that if we can just develop technology to the point where we'll be able to conquer disease and conquer all whatever it is, we have to realize that that is the demonic, that's Ahriman, that's Lucifer, that's whatever you want to call it mythologically, that's Faust, you know, it's good, that's Goethe's Faust, he believed that, and he got sucked in by the devil and made a pact that he always regretted. So I think really getting back to a human life, which is so the alternative, what is the alternative to technology? It's spirituality, actually. Spirituality is the alternative. Spirituality in the, because technology is always matter. It's material. It's trying to glorify matter, create something out of matter that will make us happy. It's not going to happen. We are happy already. Our nature is happiness and joy and freedom and creativity and exuberance and love. That's what we are. We don't need something else. We're not in a struggle with nature. That whole idea that nature and humans are fighting with each other, that's all based on technology. It's based on science. It's based on animal agriculture. Animal agriculture is the fountain of technology. We develop technology to dominate animals, and it's all part of the same thing. So spirituality is connecting with the human life and getting back to growing food and doing physical things, getting more physical. I think we're getting too much into our heads all the time, and getting back to a physical reality and working, building things and growing food and trying to simplify our lives and be more connected to each other face to face. That's why we go on these tours, just to see people and not just do everything like we're doing now. I mean, it's great to do it like this, but I think we really have to see that there's technology is pulling us in a way that's dehumanizing us in many ways, and not in a good way. We need to connect with us. We have to have spirituality, and that can only be cultivated at the individual level, but we can create communities also. That's the important thing. We can create spiritual communities that promote the individual spiritual growth, right? That's great. I mean, that's the thing. And churches and religions have done that, really, very well, in a lot of ways, very well. And that's why science hates them. That's why there's these attacks on religion now. It's not considered essential. Close them all down. So again, to revivify religion so it's authentic and it's meaningful for us is very important. To bring veganism back into it is essential. I'm realizing it's getting kind of late here. There's two things I want to say that I don't want to lose. I'll just say it here. Maybe I'll send it out in an email too. Afterwards, our good friend Chrissy Benson, who is usually always on our call, but she couldn't make it. She's in Tennessee. She's the author of the new book that we heard her talk about a couple of months ago. And she's launching. It's launching, right after Thanksgiving. So I'll put a note, with a link to it, in the email I send out to everybody afterwards. And the other thing, Madeline was just reminding me, that there's a document online. I don't think it's in the resources, but I'll send it out. You may want to check it out. It's a document that you can file with your county wherever you live, and it's basically putting them on notice that you will not comply. You know, you say, I'm not going to comply with any of these things. And I think the more people we have filing notices at the county level, the sort of grassroots level, that we're not complying with unconstitutional taking away of our basic freedoms of association, of religion, of travel, of the press and speech and so forth, and of bodily autonomy, and that we're not going to comply with this stuff, I think that creates an energy field. So I think it's important to do these kinds of things, the kind of human things it's important to do. I'm not just saying just be spiritual and not do things, but I think, so I'll send that out, because we're planning on doing that also. I just wanted to mention that. Okay, so let's see. Lisa, you have your hand up. Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, Dr. Pello, thank you. I just wanted to thank you for mentioning this document. I didn't know. I would definitely look into exercising my rights.
Yeah.
Yeah, we think we all should. I just wanted to share, you know, a thought that came while hearing all these wonderful discussions, and I'm really, really grateful for this community. I really think that sharing all these ideas really empower each of us. And as you, Dr. Tuttle, really serve as a, you know, bright beacon of light to remind us that we are sovereignty beings at the end of the day. Whatever freedom that they take away from us, they cannot take away our the truth that we are sovereignty entity. Like Viktor Frankl, you know, if even they imprison us in physical imprisonment, our consciousness is still can be free. We can still have our own inner world. There's nobody can touch our inner world, and we could still be the sovereign ruler of our reality. We create our reality. That's how powerful we truly are, each one of us. So I just wanted to remind everyone that we no matter what society take away our freedom in whatever form, our ultimate freedom can never be taken away, because we always own that. And
right.
And I just wanted to share how grateful I am to have the opportunity to physically follow you, Dr. Tuttle. I mean, we all can follow you in all the ways that we can choose to follow you, and just to exercise our sovereignty rights, which I follow you because I believe in the cause, especially the Philippine Revolution. It really resonates with me because I was born during the China Cultural Revolution, and
right.
That's what people do is, at you know, during that time, there's no internet, there's no technology. We just physically follow people and promote, and just as an act of supporting the views that we think is right. For me, I really appreciate this opportunity that I get to choose to physically also support this cause, and at the same time it is exercising my freedom.
Right.
My way of exercising up. So every one of us, right. I encourage our fellow members to participate or choose whatever seems right thing for you to exercise your freedom to I really, for me personally, hearing Dr. Turtle doing this, even though it's essentially the same talk, but every time I get inspiration from being there physically and hearing, seeing the people. Like you say, I get so tired of being on Zoom and virtual. I want to get back into really get in touch with the people, with the community. And, cause that is what we are human beings is about.
Right.
And, I don't have the chat box. Somehow I'm on my phone, but I know that, Margie in the wood, said something about you plan to be in Florida. I'd love to connect with you and the vegan community in Florida when we're there. So I wanted to just to put out there because I cannot type it in the chat. So if Margie, if you're still here, I'd love to connect with you in some way. I don't know how, but,
okay. I can put you guys in touch with each other. That's no problem.
Yeah,
all right.
Thank you. Well, thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Lisa. Yeah. Yeah, those are good points. You know, the thing we have to say, even though you're right in the sense that ultimately we have sovereignty, but the thing is, it's a muscle, right? I mean, if you don't use it, you lose it. And, we need to during this life, I mean, during this incarnation. And, it's amazing, you know, what these people are thinking of doing. You know, you've seen probably the video of the president of Chile saying that we have the technology to know what you're thinking and to even plant thoughts in your mind and so forth. And so, again, we have to really, I think meditation is very important because one of the things we can do through the practice of meditation is get in touch with our consciousness enough to be able to tell if we're being attacked mentally, you know, if that's happening. We get more sensitive to forces. We really need, I think now more than ever, to develop these capacities. And that takes practice. It's like anything else, like learning a musical instrument or learning a language. It's practice is the key, just, you know, working on these things a little bit. Otherwise, like I say, we can't help, really can't help the animals either. All right. So, is there any other comments or questions? I just want to, we're going to kind of wrap it up here, I think, in a minute. This has been about time. I do want to draw your attention to the resources for November of 2022. Now, there's a lot. I mean, it's like 5 pages, I think, or whatever. There's quite a few big developments within the vegan movement. This video of me, we cannot see because we are slaves ourselves. That's only 3 minutes, but it kind of sums it up. Also, Angel, who we've had on before, she's one of us. She's working really hard to try to bring the vegan message into the yoga community, especially the integral yoga in Virginia, Swami Satchitananda, and she's done a video, it's here too, and there's also a new video that just came out, it was launched actually today, it's called Land of Ahimsa, and it's about dairy production in India, and how cool it is, and Madeline and I are in that one, so you might want to check that out. This is World Vegan Month, November. And there's also a brand new video by Earthling Ed on the dairy industry and how cruel it is. And there's a lot of stuff happening. Gosh, there's so much. So you can check out these resources. Also, something that's kind of interesting too is that the whole brouhaha for the last couple of years about plant-based meats and how great they're going to be and how they're going to just wipe out regular meat, well, that's all collapsed. They're collapsing, unfortunately. Well, I mean, I don't know they're not healthy. Impossible Burger, I mean, I never was really in favor of it anyway, but it's collapsing. And then there's really a great video, thanks to Kenny, Moby, Why I'm a Vegan. And then there's a lot of good stuff on the freedom side, starting on the second page, of the resources. The Big Reset is an amazing documentary film made in Europe about this whole the whole COVID-19 thing. The really Anthony Fauci movie came out. It's also another. I mean, these are some a lot. There's a lot to learn, but there's a huge amount of information here if you would like to go deeper into it. I have one especially highlighted here. It's a great short talk. It's not long. It's only 15 minutes. But Alfie Oakes, the owner of Seed to Table, which is where we go when we're in Naples, he'll be there. He does a great talk. It's an amazing place. It's a total freedom store, and they have got lots of organic vegan food too. So anyway, check all these things out. There's so much here. There's so much good stuff happening, but the pushback isn't really, I mean, the stomping down, like Dr. Peter McCullough is actually being stripped of his medical credentials. I mean, the most highest, most revered doctor, really. And so the attack on people's freedom and so forth is unremitting. It's getting stronger. So it's really important not to comply, as we were saying. There's lots of other information here, a huge amount. So I think I'll go ahead and stop there. Just wanted to draw your attention to those things. And I think we're really at our time. And Madeline has made a wonderful vegan dinner, which she wants to to share together here. I want to give a special hello and shout to Davi. Thanks for joining us, Davi, from England. It's great to see you here. Everybody, I mean, all of you. I shouldn't choose it, but it's just great to see you. Judy, also, of course, especially from Kansas. Judy was has been busy. She was just, I guess, 2 weeks ago, the big at Unity Village. There was the second annual vegan gathering at Unity, which we were at last year, and I spoke at it by Zoom, and Judy was there in person. It's really good to see that happening at Unity Village. That's a real healing that's happening there too. So there's a lot of good things happening. Thank you for your great questions and comments, and we look forward to seeing you next time. We'll be on the road for the next four times. We may have to move one from Thursday to Friday. We'll see how it goes with our tour schedule, but I'll keep you posted on that, and we'll do our best to have it. And the technology, so we can get together like this. Now that I've made technology the enemy, I'm here we are using it. But anyway, ultimately, what we are is beyond all of the technology. We are consciousness itself. All right, so much love to you all. Let's join. Please unmute yourselves if you'd like, and we can say our prayer together, which we know is the prayer for the prayer circle for animals. We say it every day at noon. Please join us at noon wherever you are to affirm this truth. Okay, we can begin. Here we go.
Michael.
Compassion
and service for all beings everywhere.
Great, again. Compassion
and circles the earth.
For all beings everywhere. Great. Okay, one more time with feeling. Passion
circles the earth.
For all beings everywhere. Woohoo!
Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. We'll stay in touch.
Thank you, everyone.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks so much.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you.